It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. And on today's show, we welcome a music star into our lives for the next hour. A guy who, along with a couple of other guys, formed a great rock band back in the 1970s. And I'm referring to Three Dog Night. And Danny Hutton, Corey Wells, and Chuck Negron went on to sell millions of records, millions of platinum-selling records, big hits, number one songs, touring the world. And we've got Chuck Negron joining us for today's Border Crossing, so stick around.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine. I never understood a single word he said, but I helped him a drink his wine. And he always had some mighty fine wine. Sing joy to the world. All the boys and girls now. Joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea. Joy to you and me. If I were the king of the world, I'd tell you what I'd do. I'd throw away the cars and the bars and the war. Make sweet love to you. Singing out joy to the world. All the boys and girls. Joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea. Joy to you and me.
This is Larry London for the Voice of America, and on the phone we have a true music icon, a guy who's been doing this for a few years, let's say. We'd like to welcome one of the three members of one of the great groups from the 70s and early 80s, Chuck Negron, to the Voice of America. Chuck, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you, and I guess it's not just the 70s. You guys started as a band as Redwood in the 60s, didn't you?
Yeah, well, actually, I started in the 50s when I was 15 years old, a group called the Rondells, and played the Apollo and, you know, did shows all over New York. And at any rate, so, and then in the 60s as a solo artist, I made records for Hart Fan Records and then Columbia Records. I was a solo artist on Columbia Records under the name Chuck Rondell. And, you know, and then Danny was making solo records and Corey was making records with a group called The Enemies. And so our first, Brian Wilson produced us as Redwood, Time to Get Alone and Darlin'. And so, yeah, so we, you know, we've been around. Our first hit was in 68.
Wow.
Our first number one record was, no, our first number one record was in 69, but our first hit, Try a Little Tenderness, was in 68.
Now, we're talking with Chuck Negron from Three Dog Night, and of course, he's had a very successful solo career as well with 9 records, 5 singles, 9 albums, and along the way, Three Dog Night earned 12 gold albums and 21 consecutive Billboard Top 40 hits, 7 of which were gold. Now, it all came to an end at some point. I guess you guys were on the road, and what was it that ended this relationship? Why did Three Dog Night decide we've had enough?
Well, you know what? It was just too much work. By the way, it was 12 gold albums because they didn't have a platinum award.
Right.
Now, as soon as they had the platinum award, all those albums are platinum. So we have 12 platinum albums now, and actually there's more. I think there's 15 now because they have, you know, all these re-releases, and
wow.
Then there's several that were like, you know, songs from The Big Chill was a platinum album, which, you know, we were on, and Gump was a platinum album, which we were on, which, you know, we get. So this, you know, so it's nice. But what happened? It was just, for me, relentless. We were making 2 records a year and touring 200 days.
Hmm.
You know, and it was too much. I mean, you know, when you're young, it's fine. But after 4 years of doing that, you know, 8, 9 albums, and you know, in the touring, you're getting bigger and bigger, and just you're actually touring more because so much money's being made. You know, we just burnt ourselves out. We just burnt out. The managers didn't have any long term plan. They, you know, they were, excuse me, suits. And, you know, they were in it because, you know, get what they can before these guys burn out and rock and roll's over,
mm-hmm.
You know. So, you know, so there was no long-term plan, and so they were, you know, killing us, and they didn't realize. We were just, you know, one hit after another. We didn't stop until finally we literally kind of self-destructed because we just couldn't do it anymore. You know, I mean, if we would have taken a year or so off like these people do now, Three Dog Night could still be working. You know, I mean, if you didn't have to 2 albums a year instead of do an album every 2 or 3 years, you know. But anyway, that's what happened. It was too much.
A big difference in the business from when you guys were starting off and cooking in the 70s to what it is today. You work with some of the biggest songwriters in music, Paul Williams back in the time, Harry Nilsson, Randy Newman. Did you write your own music too?
Yeah, we had tunes on our albums that, you know, that we wrote. We would have done more writing if it wasn't such a difficult process because, you know, it caused tension, of course, fighting. There was a lot of egos, you know, not wanting one guy to do more than another guy, you know. So, you know, the process for picking songs was, well, you know, it was really scrutinized, and, you know, guys just ended up not wanting to do it. So we found these writers, and we weren't working with them. We found them. You know, I mean, you know, Randy Newman, no one even knew him when he had a couple albums out, but he hadn't had any success. When we did, in 68, we did a song called Bet No One Ever Hurts Bad by Randy Newman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, of course, Mama Told Me Not to Come, which was a number one. And Harry Nilsson, you know, they didn't even put one out until we had a hit with it, and then they tried to compete with us. Before that, you know, the only hit he had was Everybody's Talking, which wasn't his tune.
Want some whiskey and you want a sugar in your tea? What's all these crazy questions they're asking me? This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights, cause I don't wanna see. Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come. That ain't the way to find out. Open up the window, let some air into this room. I think I'm almost choking from the smell of stale perfume. And that cigarette you're smoking, I'm scared you have to death. Open up the window, sucker. Let me catch my breath. Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come. That ain't the way to have fun, son. That ain't the way to have fun, son.
knocking at the door. I'm looking at my girlfriend, she passed out on the floor. I've seen so many things I ain't never seen before. Don't know what it is, I don't want to see no more.
Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come.
Border Crossings with Larry London on VOA 1.
You're listening to Border Crossings, and we are talking with Chuck Negron.
You know, Laura Nero, we're from the same neighborhood. You know, she lived a little bit away from me. So, you know, now I did get in touch with her on that song. I brought that song to Corey. And, you know, Paul made demos in the studio that we worked at. So, you know, had a connection with him, and he was. We did the first song Paul ever wrote, and did the music in totally. He, you know, we helped him become a really big writer because they were not letting him do his own thing. They wanted him to work, you know, in the teams with the different teams he was working at. Jack Conrad, who just passed away, and some other writers. And you know, I picked the song, you know. Old fashioned love song that he wrote completely, which really broke him with the publishers. They said, "Oh, this guy can do it on his own." So you know, just good ears, and thankfully there were a lot of talented people out there. We toured. Hoyt Axton, I don't know how he got hooked up with our management company, but they had him open for us. I mean, he really shouldn't have opened for a rock band. He wasn't a rock artist, but he was great. He was great. So we introduced him, and he started playing songs for us, and that's how I got Joy to the World. The band had turned it down, but he played it for me again. I said, "Oh, well, I think it's great." But anyway, him and Corey were fishing, and he said, "I wrote a new song." And it was Never Been to Spain. And Corey said, "I'm going to record it right now." You know, so we were out there, and Elton John. We did the first Elton John song, and no one had ever recorded Elton John. You know, we heard a song he had recorded, Lady Samantha, and we did it on our second album in 1968. So when we went to London, Elton brought all his new material, which was Your Song and Take Me to Pilot. You know, when we heard his stuff, we said, you know what? I don't think we can do it better. So let's leave it alone.
Era's coming. Era's coming. Save a broken heart.
It's Border Crossings on VOA 1.
Just an old-fashioned love song playing on the radio. And wrapped around the music is the sound of someone promising they'll never go. Slowly rumbles on. No need in bringing. to know, to underscore our love affair with tenderness and feelings that we've come to know. You swear you've heard it before as it slowly rambles on and on. No need in bringing them back, cause they're never really gone.
Just an old-fashioned love song, coming down in three-part harmony. Just an old
It's Border Crossings, and on the phones with us from California today, we've got former member of Three Dog Night, Chuck Negron.
Well, I never been to Spain, but I kind of like the music. See, the ladies are insane there, and they sure know how to use it. They don't abuse it, never gonna lose it. I can't refuse it. Well, I never been to England, but I kinda like the Beatles. Well, I hit it for Las Vegas, only made it out to so good, oh, feel so good. Well, I never been to heaven, but I've been to Oklahoma. Oh, they tell me I was born there, but I really don't remember. Yeah, no. What does it matter? What
We've got Chuck Negron on the phone, and he's talking to us from California. We're going to talk about a book he just put out. But before I get to that, you mentioned earlier about, you know, the guys and the music, and maybe we'll continue to release music. I read somewhere where there was some new Three Dog Night music that might yet still come out soon that hadn't been released before. Is that on the plan for 2018?
Oh, no, it's out. It's out. Okay, it's, what it is once it's I have a record that I put out a couple of months back. It's called Generations, and it's me with my two daughters, my two youngest daughters, Annabelle and Charlotte, and they're singing with me. And on that record, there are three unreleased records that Three Dog Night did in the 70s. Take Me to the Pilot, This Is Your Captain Calling, Save Our Ship, and The Letter. And there's three never-released songs that are on this Generations record of me, and it's under the name Negron, not Chuck Negron, just Negron. So, you know, yeah, so there is those songs. They're already out, and the reason I got to put them out is because when Three Dog Night was really big, I made a deal with the record company when they thought it was going to be over, that we could keep our masters from that day on, and they said yes, and we did seven more albums. Hmm. So those three songs were on those seven albums.
Yeah.
Border Crossings with Larry London on VOA 1.
Storms that we have weathered have battered us and bruised us. The winds have changed and blown us off our course. The crew stands divided on what course should be decided, and the captain cannot see that we are lost.
Save our ship,
for she is slowly sinking.
Save our ship,
or we will surely drown. If there be good men aboard her, let them sail us to Bear Harbor.
Save our ship
before our ship goes down. Before our ship goes down. We're fought the angry ocean. Survived her,
and now the crew is breaking out the wine.
The battle has ended, but the damage goes unmended, and we're leaking far below the waterline.
Save our ship,
for she is slowly sinking.
If there be good men aboard her, let them sail us to Fair Harbor.
Save our ship
before our ship goes down.
Before our ship goes down. We can chart our destiny straight and true. We can turn the stars around. Head for a new horizon. But before we do,
we've got to save our ship before our ship goes down.
She is slowly sinking.
Save our ship,
or we will surely drown.
Save our ship,
for she is slowly sinking.
Save our ship,
or we will surely drown.
Save our ship,
for she is slowly sinking. She is slowly sinking. We will surely drown.
You're listening to Border Crossings, and we are talking with Chuck Negron.
Wow.
So is there a chance that you and Danny might get together again and do some performances or recording or anything? Or is that behind you now?
You know what? You know what? I'll be honest. You never know what happens. Something comes up, someone has an idea that it fits, that you do something. But other than that, I really don't see it, because it's not Three Dog Night. See, what I'm doing is me. It's me singing the songs I sang and everything. So it's you're getting what you got. But to go in there and, it just wouldn't feel right, me and Danny, you know what I mean, without the guys.
Right.
It would be a step back, not a step forward.
Okay. Well, I'm referring to, of course, Corey Wells was also one of Three Dog Night, passed away in 2015. We have Chuck Negron on the phone with us right now. Basketball, that was a big part of your life. Now, at one point, you probably thought about being a professional basketball player before all this music stuff happened.
Well, I did, but, it wasn't something I thought would happen, but I knew I was going to go play college ball because I was an all-city basketball player in New York. See, I would, I was good and known, so, I would go down to Harlem, and they had a Rutgers Park where all the greatest players in New York played, and the NBA played. I go down there and play with these guys, and I knew this was a whole other level. You know, that I could compete with them, and because I had a great shot. But I'm talking about guys who are faster than me, two feet bigger than me,
right,
and stronger than me. And I went, this is a whole other level. So I knew I wasn't, but I knew in the college game as a guard, I'd fit your shooting guard. I'd fit right in. Plus, I was good. So I went and played college basketball. And in my junior year, I signed with Columbia Records because, I was singing, making records all through college when I wasn't playing ball. Oh, actually, even when I was playing ball. And finally, Columbia Records signed me, which was the biggest company in the world.
Hmm.
So they told me, look, you're leaving college or you're leaving Columbia. You're not doing both. This is, we got people knocking on all day long. They're coming in here begging. You have a great record deal, and you can't make because you have a basketball game. What are you, crazy? They actually said it to me, and I said, you know what? You're right. I will. You got it.
Well,
and I said, can I just finish the year? Was the end? He said, okay. When's the last game? I told him when the last game was. It was March something, and he said, I want to see you the following week. And I showed up, and I learned the lesson. Not only what he said was true, but you can't have your cake and eat it. When you're working with business people who you make a deal with, and they expect you to honor that deal because they're spending money, and I found out another thing: the glow they had when they signed me was really tarnished because I wasn't as exciting to them as I was when they were initially excited. I waited, I made a mistake. So, I didn't get the action that I would have if I would have done it right away when everyone was hot on me. So, you learn a lot. You learn a lot of lessons. You can't, like you say, I can't have your cake and eat it.
Right,
so,
right. We've got Chuck Negron is with us, and I want to talk about the new book now. It's an ongoing story. I guess this is I don't know what generation, what issue this is, 9 or 10 or 11 of this book that started in 1999.
Yeah, I think it's 4.
4, okay.
And 3, actually, there's only been 2 updates. Okay, 12 chapters were done in the early 2000s, 2001, 2 or 3, I don't know, something like that. 12 new chapters were done because the story continues, not just my story through Duck Night, perspectives and everything.
Sure.
And then the third edition was the same thing, just with 100 pictures.
Ah.
So no change, but 100 pictures. The fourth edition, I wrote 11 more chapters, and we kept the 100 pictures. So, it's quite a big book now, but it's good. The new chapters, the chapter of Corey, going over my relationship, with Corey and Jimmy Greenspoon, who passed away, and mm-hmm. he was my best man at my wedding, and, my story with him, and I have a twin sister, and she passed away from cancer, and there's a story about her, and there's a story about how Three Dog Night, the day Three Dog Night and we got together, and there's different perspectives on all different things that happened, because it's, a lifetime ago, I'm an adult now,
mm-hmm.
and so it's just, look, and plus I'm sober, I've been sober 26 years. So just looking at things differently.
Now,
so, and that's what I wrote about.
And you mentioned your twin sister, Nancy. You two were in an orphanage a little while when you were kids.
Yeah. My mother was very young, and my father and her left. I mean, they just couldn't make it. It was very hard. We were in an orphanage, and, it was a difficult time. But we made it through. It was a tough one. It's actually a chapter on that. Kind of a very tough situation that happened while I was in the orphanage. Stuff I saw and was afraid. Orphanages back then, most of the people were great. It was late 40s, 49 and 50, so most of the people were great. But then it was also a field for pedophiles,
mm-hmm.
And we did have one that unfortunately I wasn't involved with. Some of the other older boys were. It was a terrible thing to be around.
Right. I can't imagine. Chuck Negron wrote a book. It's about himself and his life and his stories. It's called Three Dog Nightmare, the Chuck Negron story. It's now out and available. It went on sale in December. So explain to me how a millionaire ends up living in a cardboard box.
Well, I wasn't living in a cardboard box. What it was I would go downtown and cop drugs, and I'd be sick and withdrawal, so I didn't want to wait to get home or go, you know, if I was staying with friends. So there was this, you know, homeless guy that I knew, and I would go over his place, and he lived in a cardboard box.
Ah.
And I'd get high in there, and there were times I'd just sleep there. You know, and there was a time there I stayed a couple of days because I was, you know, just happened to have a lot of drugs and just didn't leave. You know, so that's, you know, that's what that was. But I did live with another guy for a while in an abandoned building. So, no, it was rough. It was a terrible way to spend a life.
Mm. And I also read where you had gone in and out of 30 different drug treatment centers.
Yeah, over 13 years, I went through 37 rehabs.
Oh.
Sometimes trying to get sober, sometimes just trying to get the pressure off me from my peers and my family. Hmm. And eventually in 1991, I got clean.
Wow. So all of this was going on while you were a mega superstar in Three Dog Night.
Well, no. When I was at Three Dog Night, it was the beginning of my drug use. And actually, I was using drugs, you know, towards the middle of and the end of Three Dog Night. But I still was functioning. I mean, I gave them their last million seller with The Show Must Go On. And then the very last record that we did, and Danny Hutton had been fired, and Joe Shirey was fired. And, actually, none of the band, Floyd, was gone. Joe was gone. It was just Jimmy Greenspoon, Corey, and I.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the last record, Till the World Ends. I think in Easy Listening was number 9, and in Billboard it was number 36 or something like that. So, you know, I was there from the beginning to the end. But in the 80s, when we got back together, you know, all those years off, you know, I became a raving drug addict.
Hmm.
And when they wanted me to come back together, I should never have done it because, I was unable to do it. And so that's one of the problems, you know, as far as with the band, and I eventually had to leave.
I can imagine if somebody comes up to you, you must have had many people that say, you inspired me, you touched me, I'm alive because of you, because of your book, because of your story, because of your success. That must make you feel pretty good.
Well, you know, it's wonderful that this book, what I wanted it to do, and this book is brutally honest. I mean, it really casts a terrible light on a drug addict and what being a drug addict is. So anyone who reads it will go, God, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it has helped a lot of people as a part of many rehab centers' course of work. I mean, they use the book in these rehabs. There are rehabs that have people come in and read chapters to the staff. And, you know, staff, you know, it's like, I didn't even notice all these different uses of the book. I found out in the last several years. But, you know, so these new chapters I'm hoping will, you know, add more interest, you know, and help more people.
And I'm sure that as a father, you gave your children advice. And now probably, perhaps, I don't know, I for sure, I'm guessing, assuming you have grandchildren, that you're probably giving them advice to as well.
Well, you know, I really haven't said anything to my, you know, my grandchildren. Sean is 17. He's the oldest, and he, you know, he's been, you know, doing fine. The rest of them are a little too young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's nothing I would bring up yet. So,
aren't you afraid they're going to hear about this? I mean, you're a high profile person. You're not. It's hard to keep this stuff a secret.
No. They all know I have a book mm-hmm. that they're not allowed to read.
Oh, okay. What do the grandkids call you? You got a nickname?
Poppy.
Poppy, all right. We're talking with Poppy, Chuck Negron, who's with us. He just released a book in December, Three Dog Nightmare, which is an appropriate name for the content of the book, because certainly there's been some great moments, high moments, wonderful moments for the band, who were so influential in the development of rock music back in the early days in the 70s when rock and roll was just, you know, taking root on FM radio. And, of course, they played a big role in influencing many other musicians. But Chuck Negron himself has gone through a very, very, shall we say, challenging life. There's been a lot of things. And you contemplated death at one point? Is that what I read?
Well, it was, suicide in the sense that it was, you know, a terrible. I was so terribly sick from withdrawals and, you know, I just wanted to die,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I was going to my probation officer, and he told me on the way in, he said, if your test is dirty, you're going to jail, and then you're going to prison. He hated my guts.
Mm.
He used to tell me, I can't believe I got you. You guys usually get away,
mm.
you know, so he didn't like me at all. So I knew I was dirty, and on the way over, I just walked in front of a bus, and I didn't want to go to jail. Yeah, and luckily the guys stopped, just kind of bumped me, knocked me down.
Mm.
You know, and I went, what are you doing? You know,
wow.
I want to tell you something. This is, I mean, if it's not appropriate, don't use it. But anyway, there was a guy I met in recovery years later, and that day I didn't go to my appointment because I didn't want to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And then you couldn't get through, and they would call you and say, we'll get back to you. And I didn't hear for months. And in recovery, I met this guy, and he heard my story. And he said, you know, you're not going to believe that. I might have saved you. And I said, why? He said, I was in the same situation you were in, but I burnt the building down.
Oh, my gosh.
He says, that's why you didn't hear from them. All the records were lost. They didn't even know who to call.
Well, you know, we're very, very lucky you've turned this all around. Now, have you ever thought about turning this into a movie? I mean, this would make a great movie.
Well, you know what? New Line Cinema wanted to do it. HBO wanted to do it. And, you know, when the first book came out, it was a bestseller. I mean, we were working on the movie and everything. And then my wife, at the time, she just said, please, I don't want this as a movie. I mean, I don't want our story out there. I just don't want it. And she was my wife, so I did it. Now, you know, we're divorced, and, you know, we have a daughter, and we're friends. But still, you know, once you don't strike when the iron's hot, the iron goes cold, and that's it. So I just kind of had to wait now for someone. Now, I've had people come over the years want to write screenplays and stuff like that. But, you know, someone's just going to have to do it and then bring it to a studio. You know, so
this is a good story.
We'll see.
It's a great read, yeah. So I'm sure it would make a great movie. Who do you want to play Chuck Negron?
God, I can't even think who's out there. Who's out there now, young guy?
I don't know. Who do you want?
I was in my 20s.
Well, you never know. You never know. All the ones that are coming up. So Chuck Negron is on the phone with us right now. And if people want to get in touch with you, if they want to reach out to you, are you on Facebook and Twitter and all that?
Yeah, Chuck Negron on Facebook. I don't do Twitter too much. But, you know, I have ChuckNegron.com. And I am on Facebook, yes.
All right. So people should reach out to you and look forward to some more great reading. It's a Three Dog Nightmare, the Chuck Negron story, and some great music that's still coming out. It's a pleasure to talk to you and, you know, to finally meet you, because I've seen you several times over the years, and it's, you know, you guys are certainly inspiration to me, and the music has touched my life in many different ways. And we worked together several times, but I never really got much of a chance to talk to you. So this is a wonderful opportunity, and thank you so much for being on The Voice of America.
Thank you for saying so.
Well, thank you very much, Chuck Negron. What a pleasure to talk to you and to hear a little bit more about the story behind the man, and quite an interesting story, a painful story at times. Three Dog Nightmare, the Chuck Negron story, the name of his latest autobiography, which is now available. And again, thank you to Chuck Negron for joining us today on Border Crossings. And thank you very much for listening. Thanks to Vince, our director, and to Wagner, our producer. I'm Larry London, and we'll see you real soon with more Border Crossings right here on the VOA1 Music Network.